One of the most revolutionary uses of the Internet is in the world of commerce. Already we can buy books and clothing, obtain business advice, purchase everything from garden tools to hot sauce to high-tech communications equipment over the Internet. But we know it is just the beginning. Trade on the Internet is doubling or tripling every single year. In just a few years, it will generate hundreds of billions of dollars in goods and services. If we establish an environment in which electronic commerce can grow and flourish, then every computer will be a window open to every business, large and small, everywhere in the world. Not only will industry leaders such as IBM be able to tap into new markets, but the smallest startup company will have an unlimited network of sales and distribution at its fingertips. It will literally be possible to start a company tomorrow and next week do business in Japan and Germany and Chile, all without leaving your home, something that used to take years and years and years to do. In this way, the Internet can be and should be a truly empowering force for large and small business people alike. But today, we know electronic commerce carries also a number of significant risks that could block the extraordinary growth and progress from taking place. There are almost no international agreements or understanding about electronic commerce. Many of the most basic consumer and copyright protections are missing from cyberspace. In many ways, electronic commerce is like the Wild West of the global economy. Our task is to make sure that it's safe and stable terrain for those who wish to trade on it. And we must do so by working with other nations now, while electronic commerce is still in its infancy. To meet this challenge, I'm pleased to announce the release of our new framework for global electronic commerce, a report that lays out principles we will advocate as we seek to establish basic rules for international electronic commerce, with minimal regulations and no new discriminatory taxes. Because the Internet has such explosive potential for prosperity, it should be a global free trade zone. It should be a place where government makes every effort, first, as the Vice President said, not to stand in the way, to do no harm. We want to encourage the private sector to regulate itself as much as possible. We want to encourage all nations to refrain from imposing discriminatory taxes, tariffs, unnecessary regulations, cumbersome bureaucracies on electronic commerce. Where government involvement is necessary, its aim should be to support a predictable, consistent legal environment for trade and commerce to flourish on fair and understandable terms. And we should do our best to revise any existing laws or rules that could inhibit electronic commerce.
Today, 50 million people are connected to the net. That number will probably grow to 500 million, and some even predict a billion. Now, the number one question that I get from people as I go around the world, particularly if they're over 40, is what are all these people going to do when they're connected to the net? What will they value? And what will they be willing to pay for? The answer is all the things they do today. Of course, as all of this takes off, it spawns a range of societal and technological issues. Some we recognize as old issues in new garb, along with new challenges dealing with taxation, security, and parental responsibility. The answers to those issues begin with the kind of leadership that has resulted in today's announcement. Government and industry working together, defining appropriate roles and responsibilities.
Good. Good morning. On behalf of the Board of Directors and the staff of the Software and Information Industry Association, I'd like to welcome you here today. Do we need to do function F8? Get rid of that? There we go. That works? Good. Okay. Okay, I'd like to welcome you all here today. My name is Ken Wash. I'm president of the Software and Information Industry Association, and I'd like to welcome all of you here today. Today we're celebrating a rather unique event, something that occurred 10 years ago, and I'll give you a little sense of the genesis of how this came about. As we were planning our government affairs activities for 2007, we couldn't help but notice in the calendar that it was 10 years since the Global Framework for Electronic Commerce had been released on July 1, 1997. We wondered if anyone was going to do a retrospective, anyone was going to do a celebration to see how far we have come. And as we thought about it a little more, we thought, you know, it really is remarkable, as we just saw in the footage that was just described, how far we've come. One small thing on how far we've come is this very event is being webcast, something that I think would have been unlikely to have happened 10 years ago. And last night when I told my kids that I have a 5-year-old and a 6-year-old who are both digital natives, and I told them that I was going to be on the internet tomorrow morning, they asked me if it was going to be on YouTube. I say, well, not yet. We can slice it up and put it on YouTube later. But I did promise them that when I was on the internet this morning that I would wave to them and say hello to them. So hi, Bennett and Ari. Now you can go back and enjoy playing because I'm not sure the rest of this is going to be quite as interesting for them. But what was interesting at the time, well, let's go back 10 years, is that what the Global Framework came up with at the time was a set of principles that presented a series of policies and, most importantly, it established a roadmap for international discussions and agreements to facilitate the growth of commerce on the internet. As you just heard in that clip from President Clinton, he talked about the lack of a predictable legal environment to support the growth of electronic commerce. Well, in general, the report was supposed to be the lead for governments worldwide to adopt a non-regulatory, market-oriented approach to electronic commerce and one that facilitates the emergence of a transparent and predictable legal environment. Now, among other things, there were four important points that the report laid out at the time. One, and they look so quaint when we look back today, is that that internet technology is having a profound effect on global trade and services. That was pretty obvious. Second is the internet will revolutionize retail and direct marketing. The third is that the internet empowers citizens and democracy, that the internet will empower citizens and will democratize societies. It also will change classic business and economic paradigms. And the fourth point is that commerce on the internet could total tens of billions of dollars by the turn of the century. We just heard Lou Gerstner say, though, there were 50 million people on the internet in 1997, and look how quaint that is to us today. Well, as we all know, there was this true recognition 10 years ago of the internet's ability. What we couldn't have anticipated was what businesses would ultimately be created by the internet. And everyone has favorite stories about how the internet transformed their businesses or businesses that would not have existed but for the internet. And, you know, not long ago I heard a speech by Tom Friedman, and he was talking about a trip that he had taken with his wife to Cusco, Peru. And something even he didn't anticipate was that the tchotchke sellers in Cusco, Peru, were now sourcing their products that they were selling to American worldwide tourists. They were sourcing their products in China. And he says the way he found his vendors was, as you might expect, on the internet. So those cute little Inca figurines that you get in Cusco, they're not made in Cusco. They're made in China. You know, all of us had these examples. I mean, our own organization. I mean, 10 years ago, I headed an organization called the Software Publishers Association that some of you may remember. I mean, I see board members, ex-board members. Dan Burton served on the board of the Software Publishers Association. Well, we merged 2 years later with an organization called the Information Industry Association. That merger only took place because of the changing business dynamics created by the internet. I mean, with two different industries, the software industry encoded its products on disks and sold them, packaged them up and sold them either at retail or through two-tier distribution. And the information industry sold its products or licensed its products in closed networks that went to consumers. Well, both industries ultimately found that their products were being delivered as services on the internet.
and the business models between what constituted a software company and what constituted an information company really melded to one. Today, I can't tell the difference. And you consider some of the members that we had back then and continue to have today, I can't tell who's an information company and who's a software company. I mean, you take companies like Reed Elsevier or McGraw-Hill or Intuit. I mean, all of these companies are both software companies and information companies. Well, you know, the business models, as we all recognize, have changed enormously. And one of the things we did in preparation for today's meeting was we polled you and asked you, what are the 10 most important developments that spurred the growth of electronic commerce? And you gave us some, you know, we gave you a menu of possible items, but many of you added some items of your own, which turned out to be, you know, very useful and very thoughtful comments. And a little later, Michael Mandel will be releasing to you, will be showing you what you have voted as the 10 most important electronic commerce developments. And, you know, they weren't all obvious at the time. You know, you got to remember, and I know the discussion that will follow, is that when you looked out at the world in 1997 and you were considering the regulatory or the legal environment that could be put in place, I mean, you looked around and said, what's the most successful example of electronic commerce that existed in the world in 1997? You looked across the pond. What did you see? You saw the French Minitel, and that was considered possibly as a model. Thank you, Ira, for not adopting the model of the French Minitel as our model for electronic commerce. I mean, similarly, I mean, there were considerations at the time of creating an FCC-like regulatory structure on the internet, and thankfully, that was rejected and as unworkable. We're happy that we did not go that route. But one of the most important things, the clip that we saw with Bill Clinton and Lou Gerstner is that the release of the global framework was a big deal in 1997. It was not a tech event. It was a national event. I mean, the internet had been commercialized only 3 years earlier. And so everyone recognized that the internet was going to be a big deal for changing the world's economy. But obviously, people didn't know exactly how that would occur. So there were many people who contributed to that report. I mean, we're going to hear just in a minute from Ira Magaziner. But, you know, it's important to recognize, and this is somewhat of a reunion of a lot of the people who participated in the development of the electronic commerce and the global framework for electronic commerce. And, you know, if they're in the room, I can't see everyone. Elliot Maxwell, they see Mike Nelson over here. You raise your hand if I call your name. Mike Nelson, I think he had to run out and take a call. Becky Burr. Becky Burr's there. David Beyer. No, not here. Ron Cohen is another one. Mark Bohannon, our own general counsel and senior public policy vice president. And Jim Kohlenberger. I mean, many people had a major impact. Now, with this as a backdrop, let's keep in mind why we're doing this today. What we're doing is we're focusing now on the future. And so the questions we want you to keep in mind, and we'll be keeping in mind, is what are the necessary modifications to the five principles, or what new principles ought we be adopting in terms of continuing the growth of electronic commerce? The second, what issues that we talked about in 1997 are still on the table? What new ones now have arisen? Which nations provide models that can be emulated, and which nations have adopted models that should be avoided? Well, we're confident that this collection of experts that are going to be on the stage, Ira and all of you, can help spur the discussion. And this is the beginning of a process to consider, you know, what are the public policy issues that we ought to be considering as we continue to support the engine that has supported the economic growth.